The following program is rated MC9. Some material may be too spooky for children under 9. We suggest listening together as a family.
You're listening to Mr. Cemetery's Terror Tales. Myrtles. I see you're ready for tonight's terror tale. Well, come in and sit down. And as I tell you about a boy who takes a ride on a strange bus and gets the fright of his life. And I call this one the Crazy Bus. Enjoy.
For years, my parents told me about a crazy bus crash that happened near our home years ago. One morning, just days before I was born, my mother had been out in the garden plucking weeds when she heard a horrible noise. It was a series of high-pitched screams, then sound of screeching tires, followed by a tremendous crash. All the people in the area rushed out of their homes to see what was going on. Down at the bottom of Old Coach Road, they found black tire marks leading to a nearby cliff. When they rushed to the cliff's edge, they saw the wreckage of the bus down below. It had apparently driven straight off the cliff and crashed on the jagged rocks at the bottom. The people ran down to where the smoking wreckage was laying in an effort to help the survivors. They were horrified when they discovered that it was a local school bus, and all the passengers on board were their own children. The bodies of the dead kids lay tangled and twisted in the metal. Some had been thrown out of the bus as it fell, and their bodies smashed against the rocks, killing them on impact. Others had been decapitated by flying glass and shards of metal inside that bus. The parents were screaming and crying as they found the mangled remains of their sons and daughters in the charred wreckage. When the ambulance and fire department arrived, they found no survivors. Every single child on the bus had been killed in the crash. It was the most horrific disaster the area had ever experienced. In one horrible moment, an entire generation had been wiped out. The parents of the dead children were inconsolable. And a few days later, a huge funeral was held for all the kids who perished. Some people came from miles around to pay their respects and share in the grief. Almost every family in the area lost a child in the accident. Some had even lost two or three. Almost 40 small coffins were lowered into the ground that day. An investigation was held shortly afterwards, and the police got into the bottom of what happened. They finally determined who was to blame for causing this terrible crash. It seems that a mental patient from a local sane asylum had escaped the night before. He had broken into the bus station and stolen the driver's uniform. That night, he laid in wait until the bus station doors were unlocked. Then, he crept aboard the school bus and drove right out the gates without alerting anyone. That morning, he drove the school bus around the countryside, picking up all the unsuspecting kids who were waiting by the roadside on their way to school. He was dressed in the bus driver's uniform, so nobody suspected a thing. Once he had collected every kid on the route, the mental patient floored the accelerator and drove off the cliff. The people in our area never forgot about the terrible accident that the escaped mental patient caused. When I was growing up, there were not many children to play with. Most had been killed by the crazy bus crash. The only kids that survived were the ones that were too young to attend school at the time. And the story I'm about to tell you happened when I was 13 years old. My parents allowed me to go to the movies at the theater in town. I met a bunch of friends and we had a great time watching the movie. Afterwards, we lost track of time, and it was very late by the time we decided to go home. I must have been waiting at the bus stop for half an hour before I realized that I had missed a late bus. Cursing myself for being so careless, I wondered how I would manage to get home. But it wasn't that far to walk, perhaps maybe a mile or two. But the roads were treacherous at night because, in our area, there were no street lamps to light the way. A lot of people had been hit by cars as they walked into the darkness. And I found the payphone and called home. My mom answered and I told her I missed the late bus. She began to panic, telling me that my father was out and he had taken the car with him. She wouldn't be able to pick me up. And I told her I'd just walk home, but she begged me not to, saying that the roads were too dangerous at night. Even worse, it was beginning to snow, which meant that even if a car did manage to see me in the dark, I probably wouldn't have time to brake before it hit me. She said she would try to contact our neighbors to see if they would be able to drive in town to pick me up. And after I hung up the phone, I began to get impatient. Eventually, I decided the only thing I could do was walk home by myself. So I set off and hoped for the best. I was walking along the lone country road in the complete darkness, trying not to tip over a pothole or fall into a ditch, when I saw headlights coming from over the hill behind me. Whether it was a car or a bus, it was coming very fast. As it drew nearer, I could make out the outlines of the vehicle. It appeared to be a bus, and my only hope was that the driver would be able to see me in the darkness and stop for me. He came around the bend of the road and bathed me with bright white light. Headlights blazed through the darkness like a pair of fiery meteors. And I jumped to the side of the road and waved my hands, but the bus passed me at full speed. For a moment, I feared that I had missed it. But I heard the screech of brakes, and the bus stopped at a short distance ahead of me. I ran as fast as I could, and I came up to it just as the door swung open. As soon as I stepped in, the door shut behind me and the driver took off again at full speed. The bus was so dark inside, but as my eyes began to adjust, I could see that it was almost full, despite the fact that it was so late at night. And I found the vacant seat and sat down, resting my weary legs. The atmosphere of the bus seemed so cold, colder, if possible, than the outside. There was a strange smell. I looked around at the other passengers. They were all silent. They did not seem to be asleep, but each of them stared straight ahead. The deathly quiet was unsettling, and the smell became quickly unbearable. I felt too ill to say anything at all. The icy coldness inside the bus chilled me to the bone, and that strange smell was making me sick. Shivering from head to foot, I turned to the young boy beside me and asked if I could open a window. He didn't answer. He didn't even blink. I repeated the question louder. I still got no answer. When I could no longer stand the stench, I reached across and tried to open the window myself, but the latch broke off in my hand. It was then that I realized that the window was covered in cobwebs and mildew. In fact, every part of this bus seemed to be in terrible shape, almost decaying. The leather seats were crusted with mold, and the floor was literally rotting and breaking away beneath my feet. I turned to the boy beside me again and asked, "What is wrong with this bus?" Without a word, he turned his head slowly and looked me in the face, and I will never forget the look as long as I lived. My heart turned cold, and all the blood drained from my face. His eyes were wide, seemed as if they were popping out of his head. His face was as pale and leathery as a corpse. His bloodless lips were drawn back, showing big, yellow teeth. The words that I was about to utter died upon my lips, and a dreadful feeling of horror came over me. I became aware that everyone on the bus was staring straight at me with that same ghastly look on their faces. Their awful faces were covered in rotting flesh, and their clothes were covered in dirt. And only their eyes, their terrible eyes, were living, and those eyes were all staring at me. A shriek of terror burst from my lips as I ran down the aisle, threw myself against the door, and tried to open it. In that single instant, as the bus door swung open, I heard a mighty crash as the bus rocked, like a ship in a storm at sea. Then, I heard many voices, children's voices, all screaming in unison. And I felt a crushing pain before everything went black. It seemed as if I had been unconscious for days. When I woke up and found my mom, she was by my bedside. She told me I had fallen over the cliff near Old Coach Road. The only reason I hadn't been killed was that I landed on a deep snowdrift that had accumulated on the rocks beneath. I was discovered at daybreak by a local farmer who carried me to the nearest hospital. They said I had two broken legs and a broken arm and a deep cut on my forehead. The place where I fell, my mom told me, was the same exact spot that the horrible bus crash had happened 13 years before. Now, you can believe what you want. Some people may call me a liar, and others will say I'm just crazy. But I know that 13 years ago, days before I was born, and I was a passenger in that crazy bus crash.
Well, I didn't see that ending coming, did you? No, that wasn't too scary for you kiddos. Hey, why did the witch go to the doctor? Give up? She had a dizzy spell. Join me next week for an all-new episode. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Until next time, sleep well, friends. And then remember to stay spooky.